Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the baseball podcast with Bally Senior MLB writer David Brown. David, how are you?
Andy, I'm good. Thank you for asking. We've only got 2 weeks left in the season, so we better hurry and do this. We'll run out of time.
I know. Looking at the schedules, a quirk, which I found very interesting. Do you know who the Guardians finish with?
Yeah, or I did. I've written three or four stories about this, but
they have six home games in a row with the Royals.
Right.
Because they were supposed to finish the season with the Royals in Cleveland, and they were supposed to start the season against the Royals at Cleveland, and after the lockout, MLB took everybody's first series and just threw it at the back of their schedule.
Right.
Which means the Royals spent almost a full week in Cleveland.
It's a lovely town. Come on.
How many times can they go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't know. I just thought that was... I looked at that, I'm like, that's not right. And I'm like, oh, I know why that happened. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, so, I mean, that basically means that the White Sox had better, if they're going to be in first place, had better be in it by then. Because I don't know how much they can count on the Royals to beat the Guardians, especially on the road in the final, six games, did you say? I mean,
six.
That's a lot.
So. That's a lot.
Yeah, they better have, made their peace by then.
So as we are recording this, it is still a four-game Guardian lead over the White Sox. Both teams have 15 games to play. However, the White Sox have more than one reason why they need to sweep the Guardians in these three games.
Yes. Yes.
A, they need to do it to catch up, but B, one more Guardian win clinches the season series over the White Sox. And if the
so that's like another game lead.
Right, because if the two teams tie at the end of the season, the Guardians win, because there are no game 163s anymore.
Right.
So it's basically, with one more win, it would become a five-game lead. If they win tonight, five-game lead. Actually, it's literally a six-game lead. Because
right.
The Sox have to pass them. They can't just tie them.
Right.
So put that in your mathematical hat. And
well, I mean, the odds are definitely against the White Sox. The only thing is, like we said, they've got three home games. Right now, as we speak, they're trailing 1-0 in the first game of the fifth inning, I think. If they win those games, then they're one out. And
yeah,
they also,
then
like
it's
you said,
all...
have the tiebreaker. And we have something here over the last 12 games. But only if they win all three games.
Yeah, pretty much. Those of you who don't know, in all transparency, my Uncle Larry owns the Indians. He doesn't know he's my uncle.
Right.
I'm not sure legally he's my uncle, but he's my uncle. I've gotten free Indians tickets when they were Indians before because of that, just the last name being the same thing.
So how did that happen? Did you like give them your name and they assumed?
It's a great, great story. I was going down to visit my parents in Florida, and the then Indians, now Guardians, were training in beautiful Winter Haven, Florida.
Ooh, right.
And I emailed around to the teams closest to where my mom and dad were staying. So that would have been the Royals in beautiful Baseball City, which went back. It reverted back to Haines City. Baseball City is no more. It's back to Haines City.
Boardwalk and Baseball? Is that? No, that's where the Braves are. That's different.
No, I think Boardwalk and Baseball was the name of the hokey little entertainment district around Baseball City.
Right.
Because the Braves are basically at Wide World of Sports in Disney World.
Okay.
So it was them, the Astros in Kissimmee, the Barbs down there in Disney World. I think that was it. And basically said, hey, I'm a big time blogger. I'd like to come down and just if you got any tickets. Everybody gave me tickets except for the Braves, which I didn't expect because it's Disney and FU. And, so I got tickets and stuff. The Royals basically said, how many do you want?
would you like to play?
Would you like 100 to every game? Could you bring people? We'll rent you a bus. Round up some
baseball
people.
Baseball fans? Could you? Maybe.
So anyway, we go to Winter Haven for one of the games. It's me and my dad. We got two tickets waiting for us. A will call. We go to will call, and the guy in the will call line is not practicing much in the way of customer service. He's barking at everybody, and he's pissed that people don't have their IDs out. And it's like, buddy, just relax. So we saunter up to the window, and he's like, yeah. I said, yeah, two tickets for Dolan. He goes, for Dolan? I said, yes. Oh, well, just a second. And he like disappears from the window for a while. I look at Dad. I'm like, oh, shit. That's supposed to be tickets. I don't know. There's not. And he comes back to the window, and he's like, sir, I don't know why the tickets we have are where they are. We've got much better seats for you. Like, oh, okay. And he's like going through the stuff, and he's showing me. He's like throwing out the old bad tickets, and here's the new good tickets. Oh, you're gonna like these. And I finally look to Dad. I go, holy shit! I'm like, he thinks we're those Dolans. Like, don't blow it. They think we're the Cablevision guys. So, yeah, they like took us down. It's spring training, and within two innings, we could have ended up in the seats they put us in anyway. In fact, at one point, we did move back because getting a little too sunny for Dad. He's like, it's getting hot as shit. Yeah, move back into the
like
shade.
A Seinfeld episode.
Yes, so we did move. But my other lasting memory of that will always be. So we got the good seats, and we're living it up. You know, hey, look at us. They think they're somehow related to the shysters that own this team. And we look up. There's a guy in full uniform. Full Indians uniform, head to toe, standing in the stands. And it's like, look at this clown, this old guy. And he's got a Bob Feller uniform on.
Mm.
And we're both looking at him, and we realize about the same time, that's really Bob Feller.
That's really Bob Feller, yeah.
Yep. Like, Bob, why? Did you miss the dugout? Are you just going to hang out here?
Right.
Dad, of course, had to go. Dad went over to talk to Bob Feller for 20 minutes. He had a great time.
Oh, that's very cool. So
that was fun. But yeah, that was our brush with greatness. The same thing I'm sure would happen if I went to a Knicks game. I'm sure James Dolan would throw me out.
Right.
And ban me.
You get
from
the Charles Oakley treatment.
So that would be fun.
Bob Feller had huge hands. Just huge, meaty, big fingers. I saw him once at a spring training in the media room, and I sort of regret not talking to him more. He's kind of a crusty old guy at that point.
He was crusty. Dad thoroughly enjoyed him.
I'm sure. But I enjoy crust.
He's from Iowa. Dad knew where he was from in Iowa.
Right.
Told him, oh, I'm a farmer from Illinois, and all the two of them. I'm surprised they didn't move in together.
Oh, my. Right.
To mom, Dad left you for Bob Feller. It's sorry to tell you.
It's completely platonic, but... he left nonetheless.
They're living in a trailer. They're both wearing Indians uniforms. Full uniforms now. It's
they have cleats on, do you remember?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Bob looked like he was ready just in case. I don't know what year this would have been. Mike Hargrove needed to put him in. He was ready to go. If you need an inning, I can give you one.
96, 97, something like that.
I'm 96 and I still throw a 96. So I still throw my age.
Have you ever been timed by a motorcycle racing?
I was just
going to
bring that up. On Remember This Crap, we somehow got on this topic, and I had the hardest time convincing Mike Donahue that there's actual video out there of them. The only way they could figure out how to time Bob Feller's fastball was to get a motorcycle going 100 miles an hour and have it race Bob's fastball.
Right.
And then I found the footage.
Right.
Man, that was...
Whose idea was that? I mean, was that really the only way you could do it?
Wouldn't it be great if that's still the only way they could do it and Major League teams did it on every pitch? You just got used to the fact that every pitch a motorcycle is going to drive at home plate at 100 miles an hour. And
you know how the Tigers and the Diamondbacks have that dirt part between the mound?
That's why it's there. It's for to help guide the motorcycle to home plate. Oh, Yan Gomes is out for the season. What happened? He got hit by the motorcycle.
Oh, there could be a sidecar. I don't know for what. The mascot, but...
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, go to a Cub game and there's some old guy and Clark barreling towards home plate at every pitch. You can't beat fun at the old ballpark. Yeah, that's good stuff. So I've been enjoying watching your Twitter feed.
Oh yeah.
And you having deep intellectual discussions with Yankee fans.
Oh my God. Who never say anything where people can hear you.
Who can't believe that you would even intimate that Shohei Ohtani could possibly be as valuable as Aaron Judge.
Yeah, and I'm sure most of the listeners don't know or whatever, but we got people on there showing me the odds. People do that all the time. They break out the odds, a sheet of what the bookies think. You know, well, he's plus $13, and you know the other guys are minus $25,000. What are you talking about? I mean, and these guys don't even know that that's. I mean, it's not forecasting the future. It's like getting people to bet the most on whatever to maximize profit. I mean, these guys who are into betting should know this.
Yes, but that's exactly right. They're not predicting wins. They are either they are trying to mitigate risk by getting people to bet the opposite side of a number that they feel like has been bet too much on one side, or they basically have just decided that they can sucker people out of their their money. Yeah, if they thought that they couldn't get people to bet on Ohtani at a lower number, they will raise the number. The same with Judge. They want you. Here's a shock. They want you to bet your money.
Yes.
Because even when you're right, you're not going to be right as often as you're wrong.
Right.
They're going to get all your money eventually. Yeah. Somebody on the magical Twitter machine had done the comp to show what hitter this year Ohtani is most like and what pitcher he is most like.
Oh, that's great.
The hitter Ohtani is Giancarlo Stanton, and the pitcher Ohtani is Max Scherzer. The two of
whom
combine to make $72 million this year.
Right.
Shohei makes $5.5 million. As I say this, Aaron Judge has just hit his 60th home run.
Did he?
He did.
What inning is it in that game?
I believe it's the bottom of the 8th.
It's pretty neat tying Babe Ruth and something.
Yeah, do it at the park next to the park that Babe built. All the history. That parking lot right over there, that's where Babe used to play.
Just like you're related to the Dolans.
Same. Exactly. It's, yeah, just tangentially. Aaron Judge and me, this close to greatness.
Right. Well, Judge is, I mean, I guess I don't want to be too redundant about things maybe we've talked about before, but when you honestly look at Aaron Judge's season, I think it is, in the context of what the game is today and what it was when Bonds was playing and what it was when Ruth was playing, is the best, you know, home run season ever. You know, he's about 20 ahead of the next guy, although Kyle Schwarber hit a home run tonight, so I'm not sure.
Kyle can get hot in the last 15 games.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him hit 28 one night.
Yes.
I mean, it was a home run derby, but he hit 28 homers in one night, so we've seen
very good. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, Judge has a shot to win the Triple Crown.
He's very close, a couple of batting average points behind Arias, I think,
yep,
of the great Twins, and ahead in the other categories, and also ahead, you know, if we don't, I wrote another article or whatever a few weeks ago, well, if you don't like these Triple Crown, you know, categories, you know, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, isolated power, he's ahead in those too. So, I mean, he's, even if you put it in the context of stats that we find a little more valuable than we used to, he's a Triple Crown guy all the way. You know, he's clearly the best hitter in the league right now.
Can you take any three statistical categories and make a Triple Crown out of them?
I think you can.
So
yes.
Can we go back to like David Bodie's 2019 season and leads the league in errors, getting picked off, and his hilarious injuries?
And that would make
a
funny
crown for
blog,
David,
for sure.
David Bodie.
Yeah.
So the bone I have to pick with this argument is what the award is called.
Right.
It is called the most valuable player.
Okay.
I don't know how you can have a more valuable baseball player than Shohei Ohtani.
I don't
by sure definition of value in lots of different ways of value. You have basically a 40 home run hitting ace pitcher who makes $5 million.
I haven't heard anybody who's smarter than me, and there's lots of them. They just haven't seen my argument that WAR doesn't really capture how valuable Ohtani is over replacement players, because there is no replacement for him. I mean, you could find somebody to pitch, you could find somebody to hit, but you cannot find anybody else in the league. And I'm not talking about Michael Lorenzen or whatever, who can do both like him. There's nobody who does what he does. Who's ever done what he's done?
I mean, the Cubs tried it early in the season with Frank Schwindel. He pitched several times, mostly because they were down 18-0. Right. And I got to tell you, as hard as Frank tried, he wasn't quite as good as Shohei. So it is difficult. But it's always been weird.
Do you know his whereabouts right now? I know he was designated.
Yes, he's still pretending he's got a flat tire. Frank, you got to go. A tire's flat. It's not. It could be. Should we? Maybe it's low on air. It looks like it might only be like 28 pounds per. No, Frank, you have to go. Or have you towed? Yeah, poor Frank. Still faking the. I mean, not faking, but still rubbing his back. Are you sure? Right. I don't know. I think maybe I need to go back on the disabled list.
Yeah.
You're like, nope. Sorry.
A little while?
I mean, I know why they did it. They needed a 40-man roster for the great Esteban Quiroz, who got his first major league hit tonight. He's apparently a 47-year-old second baseman from Mexico. that's who the Cubs are. The Cubs had quite a lineup tonight, and they beat the Marlins. It was very exciting. For some reason, I watched the whole game. I don't know why I did that to myself. I do it occasionally. But yes, poor Frank is. The Schwindel era is gone. The Schwisdom t-shirts are all consigned to the dustbin of history.
That's very clever.
It's a terrible thing. I just want, like a lot of things in baseball, some smarty pants sports writer way back when came up with most valuable as instead of like best
player of the year.
Yes, player of the year.
Or outstanding.
And nobody thought they would have to account for somebody who might do two really hard things at the same time.
Right. Which is kind of weird, because players sort of did mess with that a little bit. Like Babe Ruth, there was a transition period where he was, like a year, where he was kind of doing what Ohtani was doing. It wasn't the same thing. He was more like a fifth starter and whatever, and he wouldn't pitch for weeks. But I looked this up too, but... you'd think and I think maybe they are doing it now. They are trying to sort of herd people in that direction so they can get a 2-for-1 on a player, so they can get some kind of value out of him. Maybe not at the Ohtani level, but making it so there are guys who can be, you know, Brooks Kieschnick, but maybe a little better hitter or whatever. So, and I'm surprised they haven't pursued this before, because they love, obviously, to get $1.10 back on a dollar or whatever that saying is. That's not what the saying is, but you know what I mean.
Because that is what they. It's the best players in like high school.
Sure,
your best player is your ace pitcher and he's your shortstop, and he does everything. And then the really good ones, they either go to college or they go to the minor leagues, and they immediately are put on one track.
Right.
And
and you look at how baseball had transitioned the National League. I know this is, we've talked about this before, the National League minor leaguers, to getting them away from hitting at all as pitchers, you know, no matter what their skill level was. So baseball's kind of gotten away from that for years, but here's a way they can save some money and maybe not come up with more Ohtanis, but get some more versatility out of a utility type dude. And we see it with when they go up there and they bring in it's a 6-0 lead and they give up on the game and they bring in an infielder to pitch. Yeah. And we kind of see that there, you know, in a cheap sort of way. We joke about Frank Schwindel and the Cubs, you know, being a two-way player, but that's, you know, they do think that they're saving themselves from something by having these hitters pitch.
Well, yeah, and that they had to put the rule in, right, that you have to be at least down by 6 runs, right?
They did.
Because the Rays they'd be like a 3-run game. Yeah, fine, we're just punting today. I don't want to mess up the bullpen for tomorrow. It's like, hey, it's right. You've never come back from 3 runs down, ever. Yeah, and it's I just find it annoying given that, you know, pitching staffs are, they had to cap the pitching staff number because these guys were like, we need 18 pitchers. Like, no, you don't. You really don't.
Right.
And even at that you have to convince them not to. We got to rest everybody. Everybody's pooped. It's like, I don't quite get that.
And I suspect, and I don't know if it's true for sure, but the elbow injuries coming necessarily from people pitching a few extra innings, or is it more the speeds and the sliders doing it? Is that why we have more Tommy John than? And more elbow. We didn't have Tommy John 50 years ago, but, you know, more elbow injuries than we did 50 years ago, seemingly.
Yeah, it's got to be. You know, we go through the whole stuff, you know, oh, they throw too much. Oh, they don't throw enough.
Right.
You know, Mike Marshall wanted everybody to throw like 400 pitches a day.
Right.
He'd be like, well, you don't learn how to run a marathon. You don't train for a marathon without running marathons. Actually, Mike, you don't run a marathon when you train for a marathon.
That's true. That's true.
It's a brilliant, and if you were going to run a marathon, you wouldn't run one every day while you're getting ready to run the marathon. Number one, it would take forever, and you'd probably lose your job. But the other thing is your knees and your ankles would fall off, and you would need to be
independently wealthy to live that lifestyle.
That's right. You need to be a former major league pitcher.
Right.
He's now a overrated or a highly paid. He was like a pitching consultant for a while.
He was no longer with us, Mike Marshall.
No,
he died. Probably because he threw through.
It's probably, right? It's like, although he was perfectly healthy, but his right arm was, it was enormous. Or really, I don't know what he did to make it that big, but that's what killed him. It was terrible. So, I mean, you do have an, I was going to say I get Yankee fans. I don't get Yankee fans, but, you know, they see their favorite player. It's like every other fan base. My favorite player is the most valuable player. But it would be weird to watch your favorite player potentially win a Triple Crown and not be the most valuable player. So you could see their angst and yelling. And
they feel like there is an anti-Yankees bias, you know, which I to some degree there is because people are god darn sick of them. But I mean, it isn't the case with me. You know, I'm not promoting the opinion that maybe Shohei is more valuable than Judge because I don't like the Yankees or because I don't like Judge, you know, so I don't have a vote in it, but I would like it to be kind of a mixed vote. I don't want it to be, you know, one-sided, which it could be, or maybe it won't be. It depends on who votes. Which for the most part we don't know. I mean, we know it's the BBWAA, but we don't know which 30 people are voting, and it's probably going to be 30 different people, or at least like 25 different people than it was last year. They shuffle it around every year. The same people don't vote for the same awards every time. So I don't know what we can expect at that end, but Judge with 20 first place votes and Shohei with 10 or something like that, and let's sort it out from there. But
yeah, I mean, I expect Judge is going to win it, and then a few years down the road, you're going to look back and be like, can you believe they didn't just give the MVP to Shohei every year?
Right.
I mean, that's the kind
of argument. Well, we said that last year. It's like, well, how are we going to give it to somebody else if he does something like this every year?
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't been as good of a hitter as he was last year. He's probably, I think last year he might have been the second or third best hitter in the American League after Vlad, maybe the second. And this year, it's something like seventh or eighth, but a chance to be as good as number three. You know, the dude could be the third best pitcher and the third best hitter at the same time. It's freaking incredible. I mean, it's just, or maybe we should have been doing this all along. I don't know, but it's like nothing, nobody's ever seen. So I'm getting myself worked up again.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, so as we were talking about Aaron Judge, should he be the MVP? It turns out that was the ninth inning. It was the bottom of the ninth. Mm-hmm. He led off with a home run, and they were down by 4 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo Stanton just hit a home run to win the game for the Yankees.
Oh, no kidding. So. Speak of the devil. The last guy to hit at least 59 home runs, which I had forgotten.
You know, we were joking before he came on that I think he hit, like, a bunch of homers on the last day.
Yeah.
But I kind of think he did.
I meant to look that up, so.
I was like, I think it did kind of sneak up on everybody. Plus, he was a Marlin, and by then people were like, are they still playing?
They're not. Well.
Was I right? 2017.
He hit 2. In game 156 to get to 59.
Oh, okay.
So, and then he didn't hit any more the rest of the year.
Okay. So I completely misremembered that.
That's 3 days where, I mean, he could have tied it.
He had at least 14 at bats with a chance to hit his 60th home run and didn't do it.
He did.
Huh. What a terrible year. We were gonna make MVP, Giancarlo, but you know, he went those 14 at bats without a home run. And it's funny, he finished he won the MVP that year. Yeah. He won the MVP in 2017, and Aaron Judge finished second in the MVP voting in the American League that year. Jose Altuve.
Oh, wow. And then Altuve beat them in the playoffs, you know, wearing a wire or anal beads or something. Can we say anal beads on this podcast?
You have to say anal beads on this podcast. They're a sponsor.
Okay.
Just get the right brand.
I don't know the brands for that. So.
Sure you don't. No, he was covering up a new tattoo. That's all it was.
Right.
Right before a big playoff game, I get a fresh tattoo that morning.
Well, I mean, you got to psych yourself up for the game somehow.
Then, it all comes full circle, right? So, that was off Aroldis.
Yeah.
This year, Aroldis missed a game because he got an infected tattoo. So. Baseball.
Back full circle, huh? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, so we are the Brewers could still squeak in to a wild card spot in the National League.
Yeah.
But if not that, the only playoff spot really up for grabs is the winner of that exciting race in the AL Central.
You're right. I mean, that's pretty sad that the White Sox are our only hope for pretty much for some kind of pennant race in the regular season. But in fact, I wrote about that yesterday that the Brewers are not playing all that well, but there's only 2 games that separate them from the bottom of the wild card. So that's a race of some kind. But yeah, and the White Sox have to win these games or else we said they only have a 10% chance of winning. And, you know, teams with leads as big as the Clevelands, you know, historically have almost never blown them this late in the season. So it's got to be a sweep or nothing. So, I mean, there's not, you know, I don't know if there's like calls for to somehow tweak things again so we make the regular season more interesting, but it's not, you know, Judge's pursuit of Roger Maris's 61 is, you know, really the only thing there, and we've got so much time left and he's so close that's not really dramatic either. Everything else with the playoffs is about positioning. It's not about will your season end.
Yeah.
So unless we're talking about the White Sox or the Brewers. Kind of boring.
So baseball fans in Chicago were trying to figure out what season this White Sox season would compare to. And I volunteered and other people did the 2004 Cubs.
Uh-huh.
A team that on paper was good enough to easily make the playoffs and
right
for and put their fans through all kinds of angst, frustration. Right. And just when I thought all the comparisons had been made, the White Sox picked up scrappy little shortstop Elvis Andrews.
They did.
And in 28 games for them, he has hit .314 with .357 on base and a .517. So like, this is a guy who hit .237 with a .301 on base for Oakland.
Seemed like he was about done.
And if you hearken back to the 2004 Cubs, you know, they made the trade for Nomar at right. the trade deadline.
Right.
But Nomar was in the, had begun the ouch, I'm hurt again phase of his career.
Right.
And the Cubs ended up having to pick up another shortstop.
Yeah.
Off of waivers. And he played in 23 games down the stretch, hit .371 with a .400 on base and a .548 slug. So Elvis Andrews is the 2022 version of Nephi Perez.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and that and for Cub fans who think that was the year Dusty said Nephi saved the season, that would actually be the next year, 2005, when after a great spring in which Nomar ripped up the Cactus League like nobody's business.
Right.
And then in the third or fourth game of the season, left his groin in a pile in the right-handed batter's box of Busch Stadium.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so Nephi got to be the starting shortstop for the Cubs for a prolonged period of time, and it went really well for a month. And then it didn't.
Yeah.
For a long time. One of my fondest memories of Nephi during that period was Nephi made lots of visits to the pitcher's mound. Like, basically, you know, they kind of put the pitcher's visit, the limits on the mound visits rule in because Yadi Molina basically spent 20 minutes on the mound every game. At least he was the catcher.
Right.
Nephi's just showing up. And he's like,
right.
And to the point when he's always messing around with the rosin bag, to the point where I always wondered if maybe he thought, remember Hostess Snowballs?
Sure.
It's like, does Nephi think that's a snowball? He's just over checking it. Oh, this thing. Can you eat this? No, you can't eat that. You just checked 5 minutes ago. I don't know, keep an eye on it.
Maybe he was into unnecessarily translate.
Yeah, I think he was. He's like, ah, oh, come on out to translate. It's like, I don't think Mike Wirtz needs you to translate.
Yeah, we're all speaking English, Nephi. What are you doing?
And Nephi's like, well, I don't speak English very well, so I'm actually translating for myself. Coming out, I'm listening to you in English. I'm speaking Spanish in my head to myself. Like, would you go stand over there.
We'll give you a rosin bag. You can play with it at third base.
That's right. And they're just throwing it up in the air, catching it. The ball's rolling by. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. So basically what I'm saying to Sox fans, I'm sure a lot of Sox fans listen to this podcast because of the way I give such rapt attention to their team. Sorry that we can make yet another comparison between
The comparison, though.
And that season ended
very much with disappointment.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
This meeting.
Mike Donahue and I just did a 2-hour and 40-minute Remember This Crap about the, about the 2004 Cubs. Reliving that was triggering. But we got through it. It ends, it has a happy ending, actually, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The
podcast and the season.
Oh.
You know, they get eliminated on the second to last day of the season. It was an epic choke, even for them, of epic proportions, finding all kinds of ways to let Austin Kearns beat them. The dead-ass last Reds managed to continue. They had a four-game series with the Reds, and I think they beat them once. Because they came home for the final homestand in the wild card lead still.
Yeah, okay.
They had a couple of gut-wrenching losses to the Mets heading into that. After what I had forgotten was an excellent stretch, there'd been a hurricane that had screwed up a series they had with the Marlins. And so,
right.
In fact, they played a road game against the Marlins at Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
They made up when the Marlins were in town playing games at U.S. Cellular. They had to play a series, I think, with the Expos.
Yes.
At US Cellular. And then while they were in town, they were supposed to play the Cubs, so they played a doubleheader at Wrigley where one of the games was technically a Marlins home game, although Major League Baseball does not let you be the road team in your own park.
Hmm.
You can't even do you don't get to bat first. You just have to play it out like normal.
I see.
And what I had forgotten is until Ryan Dempster and LaTroy Hawkins combined to blow a 3-0 lead to the Mets with one out in the ninth, with a home run to Victor Diaz and then another home run to who's the other? Craig Brazel?
Well, I don't know.
I forget. I don't even want to think about it.
The boy from Brazil.
The Cubs had played like 16 games in 15 days and gone 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
So they were riding high, and then they crashed and burned. But the reason it ended on a happy note was at the end of the broadcast on the final day, Chip Carey announced he was leaving. I was like, oh, suddenly it's all worth it. You guys buried the lead. You could have started the game. He knew he was leaving. You could have started the game with that. So that was the end of our beloved Chip.
Is that when they got Len Casper?
It is.
Yeah.
Now, it was nearly Dave O'Brien.
Yeah.
And I know this because Dave O'Brien started emailing me because he must have been Googling himself. Be careful when you're Googling yourself, kids. And found that I had been writing nasty things about Chip and had been writing about the rumored people to take the job. And all of a sudden, I started getting emails from Dave O'Brien. He was starting to like try to grease the skids. Like, all right, this guy seems like a real prick.
I got
to get him on my good side. And the deal apparently broke down over the Cubs not wanting him to basically stop doing things for ESPN. He was going to have to be Cubs announcer full-time permanently, and Dave didn't want to give that up. And so they went to door number two, and it was Len Casper.
This is a cult, mister, and you must join in full.
That's right. And that all worked out fine for the Cubs. We enjoyed Len.
It did.
I don't know what he does now. Sells carpet, I think. Got it. Quit the business. But I miss him. Maybe someday he'll come back and start doing baseball again. The NFL action's in full swing at DraftKings, a casino queen sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. You may have two legs. That doesn't mean you have to limit your parlays to two. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code POINTLESS to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code POINTLESS, only at DraftKings, a casino queen sportsbook. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus issued is free bets. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Parlay and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. Paul Goldschmidt, is he still a Triple Crown adjacent as well? Could we have two Triple Crown?
It is adjacent, but he's on the wrong side of a couple stats.
Darn, that's too bad.
Schwarber is getting some separation there.
Oh, boy.
He's behind in batting average. I think he's behind. He might be behind in all three now.
He is. He is leading the league in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and OPS, but he is not leading the league in homers, RBI, or batting average.
Right.
Numbers have really cratered. He's struggling. He's only hitting .322 with 35 homers, 112 RBIs.
Yeah, I mean, he's slumped a little bit in September, which, you know, Judge hasn't, but people do that. It's not, you know, anything to be ashamed of, but it is the kind of thing that is going to take away your chance to win the Triple Crown. So he didn't have a whole lot of margin for error, and he's, you know, he's still got a couple weeks here to get his stats back up, but it's going to be tough.
I see Bryce Harper. Is Bryce Harper relegated to DH for the rest of the season, or is there a chance he will?
You know, at some point they said
right field again.
that there was a chance that he could play the outfield. I don't know the latest on that. They were hoping. Oh, okay, hang on. Oh, August 23. No, the latest is no. He's going to have to DH. At some point when he was still out, they're like, oh, maybe he'll come back. But I think as of like September 1st, they quashed that or squashed, Your Honor.
Squashed or quashed. Either is acceptable.
Oh. So what's your question there with that?
Wondering if that means that the Phillies will have to continue with Nick Castellanos wandering around in right field, and it appears that they're going to have to do that. Although he's not having a very good year.
No, he's drawn a lot of complaints. I don't know if it is a matter of him trying to finally live up to the long-term deal that he hadn't gotten before, but or if there's some injury. But
is it bad that he has 124 strikeouts and only 27 walks?
Yeah, I mean, that's, as much as I appreciate his personality and his sense of humor, and he's still, you know, he's a guy that's always struck out a little bit too much and not walked enough, even when he was at peak Nick Castellanos. So
yeah, because that's really not far off his career rate. I mean, he has 1,154 career strikeouts and 321 walks. So the 124 to 27 is not that far off.
No, so it's not that far off. But I mean, it's never. But he's not coming from a position of strength, you know, on that. And so, you know, a little bit off, it's going to get into, you know, you're striking out too much, more than the league, and you're, you know. I don't know. I'm just trying to say it's that's never been a strength of his. Right. But if you fall off a little bit from it, it goes from, oh, we can handle this, to it's becoming a problem. You can handle it because he's hitting home runs or whatever, but he's, you know, a guy that strikes out that much and doesn't walk enough indicates somebody that can be pitched to.
Right.
And you get a little bit older, you get a little bit injured, you get a little bit slumpy, you get a little, you know, you lack confidence. And then it becomes a thing where you're really not that good. And that's where he's at right now.
Right. And he's also a brutal outfielder. So that doesn't help.
Either. He used to be a third baseman.
Yes. So. He was a brutal third baseman, too.
yes.
Yeah, so he came to the Cubs in 19. In 18 with the Tigers was the first year he posted a decent on-base percentage. It was .354. He struggled with the Tigers in 19. But after he came to the Cubs, he was really good for them. The only guy who could hit at the end of the 2019 season. .321, .356, .646. Signed with the Reds and didn't have a very good year in the pandemic year. But then last year, he hit .309, .362, .576. And that's what the Phillies thought they were buying. He's only 30. It's not like he's 36 years old.
Right.
But yeah, it has gone the other way. And yeah, I'm sure the idea was... you know, you're going from a hitter-friendly park in Cincinnati to a hitter-friendly park in Philadelphia, so that should all be fine.
I've read a couple things where the Phillies Citizens Bank Park isn't. I think maybe it's good for home runs, but it suppresses runs in other ways, and it's not as good of an overall hitter's park as it used to be. And it's been that way trending that way for a few years. So maybe there's some of that too. I don't know if that has affected Schwarber at all, but.
Well, maybe it's tough. Maybe it's a tough on right-handed hitters because Bryce and Kyle don't seem to have a problem, but maybe that's the issue. I don't know why I got on a Nick Castellanos tangent, but
I'm sure there's a good reason. If we looked at the tape,
yeah, we might have to do that. The Dodgers, is this good? They're 102-44.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Only like three or four teams have had. Actually, I don't remember what that stat is, so scratch that. But yeah, it's one of the best things ever. And their run differential, they've scored you know, 340 more runs or something like that than they've given up.
Oh, yeah, I should look at their Pythagorean. According to Pythagoras, oh, yeah, Dave Roberts is not doing a great job. According to Pythagoras, they should be 107-39.
So people do complain about Dave Roberts.
I have to fire him. You're underachieving by quite a bit, Dave. Sorry. Yeah, he joined the list of managers with four different 100-win seasons. Tony La Russa is on that list. And Bobby Cox, I think, did it six times. I don't think Preston Gomez, I don't think he did it more than never.
I don't remember any details about Preston Gomez being the manager.
Yeah, I'm going to say he probably didn't. I don't think he ever won 100. I don't think he won 100 games four times. But one thing I was interested in, what do you think the longest losing streak the Dodgers have had this season was?
Is it four?
It's four. That's pretty good.
When was that?
That was Wednesday, May 11th to Saturday, May 14th. Let's look and see who got... Oh! They lost a game at Pittsburgh, came home, and lost three in a row to the Phillies. They responded then by winning seven in a row.
That just made them mad.
And 9 out of 10. And then 15 out of 16. So they actually, I was thinking, they got to 100 wins so fast. I was like, I don't think they had any really long winning streaks. But they won 12 in a row at one point. So
that's pretty good. That's but pretty nothing good. 17, nothing 18.
Yeah. But it's mostly just, they just don't lose very often. You know, they'll lose. They've only lost three a handful of times, so.
And his last, at least, couple starts have been, since coming off the DL, dominant the IL dominant Clayton Kershaw. So that's huge after them losing Walker Buehler for the year, not having him available. Yeah, Kershaw's last couple starts. Well, I mean, he's sort of been on a roll, period, but. He's been really good in September, and if he's, you know, yeah, 150 ERA and four September starts, so they have that going in the playoffs, but who knows? People might think Clayton Kershaw is not a clutch guy if he loses a playoff start, so I don't know if that's still going to be hanging over his head or not.
I'll hang it over his head.
Go ahead. Good.
That's just the kind of guy I am. They also have the great Julio Urias, who has been a very good postseason pitcher since he was 19.
Right.
Because he's still, it feels like he's been around forever. He's 25 years old.
How old is he now? 23? 25. Okay.
Remember,
we lost a couple years of the pandemic, too, so it's, you know.
Yeah. His postseason career, he's pitched in 22 games, only five starts, but he's 7-3 with a 3.52 ERA. He's in NLDSs, he's got a 2.29 ERA. In two World Series, he pitched five times, he has a 2.7 ERA. So, yeah. It is funny, though, that they lose Buehler, who was, you know, basically their ace. And they just, I mean, I'm sure they're like, oh, that sucks, but they just kind of shrug that off because that's who they are. Cub fans know that's the team the Cubs were supposed to be. The team built on, we have money, we're a major market team, and we will spend money on our current payroll, but we also have money and we will invest it in our minor league system and the dual tracks of excellence. And one team decided to do it, and the other one can't ever seem to do more than one thing at a time.
It will be interesting to see how long of a leash Craig Kimbrel has closing games. So, because after he started out the year kind of how he finished it with the White Sox, really iffy. And but changed his walk-up music or his entrance music to something silly.
To Let It Snow.
To Let It Snow. And then he was unhittable for a while, but now that he's regressed kind of back to where he was before. So
yeah, he's
if he's kind of iffy, if Brozdar Gratterall isn't, you know, bringing it, if they don't have Blake Treinen. So I'm looking at the little things here that might get in the way of the Dodgers actually being the best team once the playoffs start. And I think that's where maybe they have a little bit of a possible weakness.
Yeah, there's always that, you know, the best team doesn't always win in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and that's true. But the teams that say that the most are the teams that aren't the best team because they're trying to convince themselves. It helps. It's an advantage to be the best team. You're not going to win every time, but if I would rather have the best team than another team.
Are you worried at all that the Cardinals could sneak up on some kind of Redbird, Devil Magic, Pujols, revival? Let's go out with a World Series. I know that's what they're trying for, but do you think that is – what are the odds?
Oh, they're not that good. They probably only have like an 80% chance of that happening. I mean, I look at how, if the playoffs start today, they would play with the Padres. It's like, no. I want someone better than that needs to play them in that best two out of three first rounding. Just get rid of them. The longer those assholes stick around, the more likely it is that something horrible will happen and they will win. I mean, this is a team that the franchise that had, you know, basically really good teams every year from 2004 till what, like 2015, and 2 years that they had crap teams, they won the World Series. It's like, no, you weren't supposed to win in 06, and you weren't supposed to win in 11, and the Tigers couldn't field a baseball in 06, and Nelson Cruz couldn't catch one in 11. So yeah, I mean, I could easily write a script where they, and you know it'll be freaking, Albert will hit a home run and Yachty will throw somebody out on the final, you know, pitch of the season, and I'll, you know, want to kill myself. The only good thing that will be is that I won't see it. I'll just have to hear about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always kind of a relief when they either don't make the playoffs or get booted out of the playoffs, because then I can just watch the playoffs.
Right.
Because otherwise, I just don't subject myself to that stuff.
I'm surprised that, you know, we've talked about the White Sox as much as we have. I'm proud of you for jumping in and recognizing that there's no getting around it at the moment.
Right. Well, honestly, though, I'm enjoying their demise.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of it, but I'm still not watching it. here's how much I watch it. I do keep tabs of it because my fantasy team may have Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, and Andrew Vaughn on it. So I always know what the score is as I'm checking to see how I'm doing. But I don't think
Luis Robert has one hit since August, and he's got something wrong with his team.
I can't play him ever because I put him in the lineup and he gets scratched during batting practice because of his hand, and then I don't play him and he does play. Luckily, early in the season I scooped little Michael Harris off of waivers, and so even though my first round draft pick has been a complete bust. Actually, my team's terrible because everybody got hurt. But I do keep an eye on it, and that's how I know how the White Sox are doing.
You got Michael Harris off waivers because someone cut him, or because that's how?
No, because he didn't start the season. Yeah, he didn't start the season in the big leagues, and no one had picked him.
Okay.
Yeah. I got him early. I picked him up after just a few days in the big leagues before anybody knew that he was worth having in keeping for the entire season. So that worked out pretty good. I'm basically the Farhan Zaidi.
Where I see.
You know, I'm just constantly keeping an eye out for injuries and who may have to have to fill in and take 100 whacks at stuff like that, and then if two of them stick, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I'm in. I know people love talking about our fantasy teams, mm-hmm. but 12th place out of 14. So I don't know about that call. You know, the White Sox and the Indians are. The Guardians are. I don't understand why they didn't overturn that on replay. The White Sox had gone ahead by a couple runs in the seventh, and the Guardians came back, tied it, they got a hit, and it looked like Ahmed Rosario was safe on a throw at the plate by Elvis Andrus that was a lot like the really crappy one that he made last week in Cleveland. You don't know what I mean because you're not watching, but that to me it looked like Rosario was called out at the plate, but it was one of those where, well, that's going to be overturned, and apparently they didn't do it. So I don't know, I don't get it. And it looked plain as day too, but I don't have the sound on because I'm talking to you, so maybe there's some kind of reason for it. But so the White Sox pick up a small break here. They get.
I don't like it.
No,
Tito and I are going to have to file a protest.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that is. I think like the protest has been held up once in the history of the game, but feel free, you know. But I think that Cleveland got kind of jacked around on that one. But and it's not like the White Sox should be given any breaks. I know they've had a lot of injuries, but they've dug a lot of their own grave too. So yeah. So Judge is one home run away from Roger Maris, the American League record. That's getting back to that for a second. At least Judge is, you know, there's an American League record thing here. There's a Yankees, there's a Maris connection. So that's kind of all very nice and nostalgic. And it's a real thing. It's a real record. You know, we still have people talking about how, well, it's, you know, Barry Bonds doesn't have the home run record because of steroids and whatever. And, you know, that I don't agree with that take. You know, I know that he took them, and it was either against the rules in reality or it was implied. But I'm also aware of enough baseball history to know that guys have been taking stuff of various kinds for forever, going back to like horse semen in the 19th century and other things in the game that don't have to do with cheating but have to do with, I mean, Barry Bonds, he's the home run champ, and you just have to accept that. You might not like it, but it's true. But anyway, Judge being the American League champion, at least we have that, the American League record holder. At least that is a kind of a thing, and he can have that, and, you know, we don't have to necessarily even talk about Barry Bonds, so, or McGuire or Sammy.
I believe one of the Marises was at the game tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I know. Well, so the wife.
They're back on tour.
Still alive? Is the wife still with us? Madge or Midge? I don't know. Maris? Mrs. Maris? I think she is. Yeah, she is, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know if she was
there. We got Randy and some other Maris.
There was a crew cut. There was a crew cut there.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was Midge. Maybe she is. She has a crew cut now, too.
I'm just going with a good
Midge is a good. That's a solid name. Nobody names their kids Midge anymore.
No,
that should make a comeback. Midge Maris.
I enjoyed the Billy Crystal. I thought he did a shockingly good job with 61, and I think it's one of the best. I mean, it's kind of a low bar, one of the best baseball movies, but I always enjoyed it, and I liked the Maris angle and all that stuff. And, you know, I remember Sammy and McGuire fondly as it was happening, even though we kind of suspected at that point that maybe it all wasn't above board. But that was still fun at the time, so.
I was looking to see who played Midge in 61. Pat Maris.
Pat, that's right.
Or Midge. It's either. It's good. was played by an actress named Jennifer Foley.
Was it Billy Crystal's daughter? Check that.
It could be, because she pops up in lots of. She was in. She's been in lots of Billy Crystal movies. Married to actor Matt Foley since September 2000.
And they live in a van down by the river.
Yeah, it's Billy's. It's Billy's daughter. Yes.
Right. I knew. I remember that. I loved. Thomas Jane was like, he stole a movie, but still, Barry Pepper was great as Maris, and I even liked Sabatka as Bob Serve. Is it Chris? Not Chris Hansen. Maybe it is, but the guy from the second season of The Wire, Sabatka, played Bob Serve, and he made really weird eggs, and he made the other players eat them in their apartment in Queens.
Yeah, his name is Chris Bauer.
Chris Bauer, that's right.
Yeah, we all know him from The Wire, but he's a that guy. He's been in
lots
and lots and lots of stuff. Christopher McDonald played Mel Allen. So good old Shooter McGavin was
great.
Mel Allen.
And his voice, he was spot on too. It sounded just like him.
Michael Nouri was Joe DiMaggio.
Yes. Very uneasy relationship with Mickey Mantle.
D-Day, Bruce McGill from Animal House, was Ralph Houck.
Yep, right.
And Whitey Ford was Anthony good. Michael Hall.
Yes. He kept Mickey alive, basically.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. And I remember watching, like, HBO had, like, a making of it where they showed, at the time it was cutting edge, how they digitally took Tiger Stadium and put the, why can't I think of the fancy word for it now?
CGI?
Well, CGI, but you know the...
Green screen?
You know, why can't I think of the word for it? At the top, Yankee Stadium, up at the top, you know, of the upper deck, they have that, whatever that stuff is called. You know, it's almost like a picket fence kind of thing.
Trellis? No.
Yeah, it has a fancy name. The people are yelling at their phones right now. But that obviously wasn't there.
Gladys
Maris? Lettuce Knight and the Pips. No, that's not it. Anyway, remember they did that, they had to digitally make Tiger Stadium that kind of almost aqua green that in that time Yankee Stadium steel. That color was so that it would look authentic,
right?
But yeah, it was good, and I did like 61. I thought it was a good movie. I mean,
it's great though. And if you look at, you mentioned the computer technology in the stands, you can see Jar Jar Binks and E.T. in the stands. At no, I'm sorry, that was
yeah. Oh, they should have done that. Just shows that if if a fan gets to a certain position in Hollywood, he can make anything happen. And I don't, people don't know this, but Pat Hughes and I are working on 20, the Kerry Wood story. It's going to be all about Kerry's 20 strikeout game that Pat has told stories about 11,000 times. It's like, Pat, yeah, you were there. That's great. You've been at a lot of stuff. We don't need the Kerry Wood story again. But he clearly thinks that was the greatest game he was ever at, and he's going to.
But your audience is always changing.
A couple weeks ago, the Cubs had their they inducted their new class into the Cubs utility tunnel of fame under the bleachers.
Yeah,
a lot of steam pipes. But the best part of it was, you know how obviously the Football Hall of Fame, you get like the cream colored jacket, and it's very iconic, and everybody knows, they see it, they know that either you're a realtor for Century 21 or you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Cardinals have this gaudy, bright red jacket that they give their Hall of Famers.
Right.
So the Cubs this year gave all their current Hall of Famer, all their living ones, they probably gave it to the dead ones too, but they weren't wearing them, a Cubby blue blazer. And there was a shot.
They folded it, the blue one, and gave it to the widows. like a flag. Like
they presented it, and then there was, and then a pitching machine fired off 21 baseballs and salute. So there's a shot of like Rick Sutcliffe and Lee Smith and Billy Williams and Ryan Sandberg, and they're down there, and Jose Cardinal and Pat Hughes are down there, and they've got their new jackets on, and just the jackets, they all look like they looked exactly like the guy who's trying to sell you cologne or mints in the bathroom. It's like they're all. They're bathroom attendants. That's what they look like. Congratulations, guys. Nice job.
Billy Williams with a white towel over his wrist.
He's like, eh? Got anything for the effort? Sorry, Billy. I'm out of change. Well, maybe next time. Billy, could you wave? I'm sorry, but could you wave a match around back there? Something's got to happen. Yeah, so the Prestigious Cup Hall of Fame. Nobody's quite sure where it is. Nobody knows how to visit it, but it's there. And if you get lost, you can enjoy it. It'll be fun. Yeah, so we basically have 2 weeks left, and the playoff position, the only playoff positioning really is left, except for this White Sox Guardians thing. And then we'll get down to the real stuff.
Can the Brewers overcome the whatevers, right, and get in the wild card?
Right. Yeah. I guess the Padres, right? That's the team they can catch,
Padres?
Theoretically.
As of last night, the Padres were ahead of the Phillies.
Oh, so it could be the Phillies.
Yeah.
Basically, those three teams are jockeying to see who plays the Cardinals in the first round. Because the third wild card team in the National League will play the division winner with the worst record, and that will be the Cardinals. Right.
Yes, because it won't be the NL East. Their record will be too good.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually sure what the rule is, if it has to be the wild card anyway, you know. So yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Then the season's going to end awkwardly on like a Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, or does it even go to Thursday maybe in some cases?
I guess it could. Does that mean the playoffs start on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, that's good, right?
Yeah.
That's what that would mean, that's true.
The playoffs start on October 7th. At a time to be determined and a city to be determined amongst teams to be determined. This is very...
No games on Thursday, October 8th. So... Yeah, starting on Friday. So the AL wild card... There's four wild card games scheduled for October 7th. And then that includes, obviously, the lower division winners as well.
All right. So when we know who that is, then we could chat about the advantages and disadvantages of sitting out the first few games, first few days.
Yeah.
But that happens.
And also there's the controversy of how the sixth seed actually has it better than the fifth seed, I want to say, just because of how you avoid the bracket with the team with the best record.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out, too.
All right. Well, we'll know more. It'd be hard to know less. We'll know more.
It's true.
Next time. All right.
Well, thanks Andy. You're welcome.
Many of us have herpes.
I just wanted this to be over.